is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Return Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Service Inspired Restaurants, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, and our newest sponsor, Strain Print. Use cannabis better. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-hour energy performance zone. And now, two men in exact uniform, Humble and Fred.
Yeah,
because Humble and Fred are both wearing t-shirts and khaki pants.
Craig Robertson on the show today, singer-songwriter. And this voice a lot.
Yeah, fun German.
Really?
No, maybe not. Are you want? It's we're not dressed exactly the same, Phil. He's got a. We're both wearing just t-shirts. But he's wearing his cargo pants.
Oh, cargo pants.
He's got to lift a skip.
My first observation from the opening of this show, today's musical performer is Craig Robertson.
Yeah.
And yesterday it was Melodigosa.
Melodigosa.
So you go from a very exquisite and unique name to Craig Robertson. Very interesting. It just shapes. Just shows this what this show is all about.
Oh, yeah, it's very...
We don't have a specific genre.
No.
We open the doors to all.
Right.
We're very open.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially to little German boys like Sean Sargent in his Lederhosen.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm just trying to have some fun.
You
know,
there you go. There's another observation.
What? You can do the German voice all
day
long?
Free and easy with the German voice.
Yeah, well...
If you open with the Chinese voice or the Indian voice,
yeah,
you're sheepish and wonder, should I be doing this?
No.
But go for, you know, balls to the wall with the Germans.
Didn't we start with the Germans yesterday?
I think we did.
Okay, well, we've got to stop that. Too many days in a row with the Germans. Yeah, because yesterday...
You're really leaning on the Germans.
Because yesterday I was talking about you yelling, Bia, Bia! Yeah. No, you're right. I'm leaning on the German voice, and I'm going to stop it now. It's a crutch, and you're absolutely right. If I had started going, ancient secrets of the Orient.
Confucius.
You know, that you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do Germans all... Well, yeah, because, you know, it's not my... The time isn't up yet. It's not going to be... It's still open season.
Whatever it is... Whatever it is, it's just one of those funny, quirky little things. And somebody has an explanation for it. Why?
Have you seen this show on the Netflix called The Crown?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen both seasons or just the first season?
Do you not? You don't recall my moments of ranting about the royal family and The Crown? And
it's all blurry to me.
Holding a bowl under his mouth while he brushes his teeth. Like this.
Well, that's second season, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just started watching it.
Yeah.
I do. I don't recall that. I'm
you
sorry.
Don't recall?
I barely...
Well, that was springtime.
Well, I was going to say, I barely recall how this thing started a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
Well, I the last couple days, you know, I've been sort of taking a little time away from the golf because it, you know, like enough already. And I started binge watching season two of that show. Mm-hmm. And one of the episodes I just watched is when they talked about the king that abdicated, King Edward. Is it Edward? Yeah, I think so.
I thought, yeah.
He wanted to come back and resume public life, and they showed those photos of him cavorting with Hitler.
Right.
Did you remember that episode? Mm-hmm.
The secret documents.
Oh, yeah.
The secret documents, right. Yeah. Did you see it?
The Americans found it, remember? Like, well, no, some other country found it. And well,
what happened was the British found it, but the Americans published it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The Americans take credit.
Of course, for everything.
But that episode, I was going to say two things I've observed about the series. One, I really like her. She's very good.
Excellent.
Claire Foy.
Claire Foy. Mm-hmm. She's so good at that character. Mm-hmm. I have three observations. Number two, I just feel sorry for her. I mean, she didn't want that job. And I just saw the episode where she's talking to Mrs. Kennedy about how her sister would have been really better suited to be the queen because that was what she wanted. And she really didn't want the job. Mm-hmm. But I really like the learning a little bit more about history because I didn't know that he had cavorted with the Jerrys. And just seeing it was very interesting. At the end of the episode, they actually showed the real pictures of the king, the former king, shaking hands with Hitler and him and Wallace Simpson going to visit the troops and him saying, you know, he had basically said to the Germans, you know, keep bombing because eventually the resolve will and we can bring his whole thing was he wanted to bring peace to, you know, Britain. Mm-hmm. But he anyway, it was pretty interesting. I find that series, I've forgotten how interesting it is to sort of see what went on in history. Not much, not far before we were born, by the way.
Well, that's, yes. It's sprinkled with history. And then the personal stuff, you know, that's speculative, I would imagine.
But based on stories of the crown.
No,
yeah.
Without a doat. You know,
but that scene where he spits into the bull, yeah, I mean,
and, well, that type of thing took place.
Yeah, it does.
That's it
happens now with Phil and I.
Yeah,
right. I hold the bull. You spit into it. You got to have a different wardrobe walking out the door.
Yeah,
oh, it's crazy.
Listen, I love the series. I thought it was great, but there was a lot of things along the way that it just aggravates me. And as I've said, regardless of who I am, I just wouldn't let another human being do those type of things for me.
Unless you were born into
unless
it,
and that's
your life, you know?
But again, that doesn't make it right and doesn't necessarily make it wrong. I don't know. But, you know, she grew into liking that job, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean...
Well, I'm only a couple of episodes away from the end of season two, so I don't know what happens. But you know, she expresses throughout both of the seasons that I've seen,
yes,
a reticence. That's not the life she wanted.
It was well,
and of course she grew into it because she's had it for 80 years
for a 25-year-old.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a horrible thing.
It's not what she wanted, and she says at one point to
at 25.
Well, and maybe she grew to like it because it became. She knows at one point there's a really interesting scene because she and her husband are not getting along, basically says, you know, as the queen is the sort of the monarch is the head of the church as well, and you know, she says to Philip, you know, we better work this out because for us, divorce is not an option and never will be. You know, you married into we both have married into this thing, and I felt bad for her because in 1950 something,
that's the way it was.
That's the way life was.
No, and there's so much of the things, you know, what her sister went through.
Yes, not letting her fall in love anymore.
Well, and you know, the weird thing is, and
with Peter Townsend and all that stuff, just ridiculous.
Right. And so at the beginning of a lot of these episodes I've watched in the last couple of days, it will mark the time. It's 1959. And interesting, as it gets closer, I don't know, this is weird, but as the episodes get closer to the year I was born, I keep thinking, wow, that was going on, you know, the summer my mom was pregnant with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was what life was.
Yeah.
And I find that. Particularly, whether it was Britain or Canada or the States, I find that particularly interesting because it sort of gives you a marker of just how far things have come in the 60-odd years I've been around.
Yeah. It's hard to believe within our lifetime that religion, especially, could be that strong.
Oh, yes.
And not that it still isn't in some aspects now, but there's a lot of things that could happen within that structure now that wouldn't have been allowed to happen 50 years ago. You know, divorce and
marrying a divorced partner,
marrying a non-white. That would have never happened.
Yeah,
in
there's
the 50s.
The scene. I watched this episode last night where she went to I think it was Guyana. Did you see this series?
Yes, I did.
So, and she goes to and she has a dance with a black man.
Oh, I think that was a country in Africa, actually, Guyana.
I said Guyana.
I heard Guyana.
Okay, I don't know, Phil. I'm on the verge of a stroke at any minute.
But you're saying there's a president
Guyana.
Of Manhattan
anyway.
Things.
There's and all the pictures that went around the world and it was seen as such a groundbreaking moment in history that a white woman would be dancing with this black man, and I thought, wow, that's literally 1 year before I was born that this caused such a sensation around the planet. And also the way the press treated them, and they just the whole cultural zeitgeist, if you will, the phenomenon of culture, just how interesting it is that wasn't very long ago, and now, you know, I've spent most of my life growing up thinking she was kind of a ridiculous figure. And what the series has shown me is that, you know, she just was like anyone else. Just a person, you know, wanting a life with... she wanted to have kids, wanted to have a family and a husband. And
I was reading something last week, and who was it about? Oh, Sammy Davis Jr. Something came up. And what he went through. Mm. Did you know he was invited to the inauguration of John F. Kennedy and then was uninvited when he started going with a white woman? He was uninvited from the inauguration because he had left his first wife, apparently, and been going to an inauguration. And then I look at this here. Interracial marriage in the United States has been fully legal
since
1967. Since 1967. And, you talk about the 50s. Just think about that. Canada's centennial. I remember that vividly. And down in the United States, they were celebrating, or some were celebrating, sure. Others were not. Mm-hmm. The full legalization of interracial marriage across the country.
Well, you do you not remember we've had that conversation?
Oh, no, I know we have.
You know, and that I find that...
I didn't know the Sammy Davis Jr. tidbit, though.
The Candyman.
Yeah.
He's the Candyman.
And John F. Kennedy was a guy for...
For progressive values.
For
and
civil
like
rights.
That.
And
yeah.
Well, I wonder what John F. K. thought when Sammy Davis went Jew.
Era.
Rabbi Davis. Era. You know, the guy that plays Kennedy in The Crown is the guy from Dexter. He's great.
Really?
Yeah, that's Dexter. I was actually, at first, I thought, well, that's an odd choice. But the more, as the episode went on, he did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the woman that played Jackie Kennedy was beautiful.
Canadian, Jodie Balfour. Yeah, she was born in South Africa, but acted
well, she's
in
amazing.
Yeah.
She's great in it.
Mm-hmm. Very slender figure.
Very,
very Jackie.
Very nice. Very juicy. You can even eat the dishes. Man, I used to love Sammy Davis. I used to love the whole Rat Pack.
But I found that fascinating. That's 1960. Mm-hmm. And again, so much of what Kennedy was based on, civil rights and equal equality. But they thought, we're going to have this. Maybe we better not invite him if he shows up. Really?
Well, then cut to how many years from 1960 to 2008, where in that short span of time, in the great gulf of the history of the world, how mm-hmm. quickly that went from, well, we can't have a black man, he might bring a white woman, to now we have a black man as president.
Right.
But, you see, I've always found this fascinating, and I've mentioned it before, that John F. Kennedy is the only one of these presidents that's ever been. Do you know what that is, Phil?
To be Catholic.
Catholic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You don't think that's bizarre? That one religion... They were as concerned that he was a Catholic mm-hmm. in 1960 when he was running. Mm-hmm. That just means, because everyone else is Christian, Protestant, mm-hmm. whatever that is. Christian. It's ridiculous.
Well, how many people in the United States didn't like Obama only because he was black?
Right.
They weren't going to give him a chance beyond that. There was people absolutely appalled. They couldn't swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you lived in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, Obama?
He could have. You know what I mean? He could have been the greatest of all time as president, and still not got a break from a segment of the United States.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. But only
based on that.
Yes.
But there was a whole other segment that gave him a pass. In some ways that some presidents wouldn't have gotten because of the fact that he was black and hope and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's completely wrong, but he got a pass on a lot of stuff.
It's very wrong. You know, voting for someone because they're black is just as bad as not voting. It really is.
No, I'm not saying he did or didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, his record is during the time of his election, a lot of people are just so swept up with the euphoria of it. That they gave him a pass on certain things just for the fact that he was mm-hmm. the first black president.
Unlike poor Donald Trump, who now Google's against him.
Googly.
Now, you know?
Googly.
Have you heard that now?
The Google.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Oh, no, he's saying, Google's conspiring against him now. When people search his name, it's only bad stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's see if it
works.
Only
bad stuff.
Only bad stuff with the Google.
Google makes sure that there's no good stuff ever pops up.
Let's forget that Trump hasn't done bad stuff.
When you Google Donald Trump.
So when you Donald Trump, the first thing that comes up is just some top stories. After that, it's his Twitter feed. After that, it's Wikipedia. No, nothing bad. Just facts, which he hates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I know. The fake news. I love that, too.
I thought the fake news was his Twitter feed, though. Uh-huh. That's the thing. Like, if he's the second most important listing on Google, and he's mentioning all these lies and things like that on his Twitter page, then, yeah, Google is lying, but because of Donald.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's great.
In fact, he said he and most conservatives now are being attacked or being treated unfairly by the Google.
Here's the tweet that he sent out. He says, Google search results for Trump news shows only the viewing reporting of fake news media. In other words, this is the president, by the way. In other words, they have it in big letters, rigged for me and others, so that almost all stories and news is bad. Also caps. Fake CNN is prominent. Republican, conservative, and fair media is shut out. Illegal? Oh, man. Oh, gosh. He really is a nitwit. Fred had me watch the end of the press conference that Trump had when he was signing this agreement with Mexico, which is a whole other story.
Yes.
And at the end, someone shouts out a question about John McCain.
Yeah, and he just sat back with his arms crossed and wouldn't answer it.
Mm-hmm. Like a child.
Because he was in that, you know, he was in that space where, you know, he really didn't know. He didn't like John McCain, and it pissed him off that everybody was, you know, giving him all these accolades, and he wasn't going to be part of that because John McCain was critical of him. And then you hear they lowered the flag to half staff. Mast. Mm-hmm. Mast? Isn't that a boat?
I thought it was half mast.
Half mast.
Okay.
Half staff. They lowered the flag.
I thought mast was a boat, staff was a... Anyway, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about.
But first they did it, and then he took it back, and then they made him... And then somehow they put it back.
Tradition says until you leave it down until the person is buried.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he just had it taken back up, and then even his handlers, apparently even the lovely and delicious and gorgeous Sarah Sanders came to him and said, you can't do that. I mean, seriously. You know, I'm buying in here. I'm buying into this thing, Donnie, but you can't do that. So then it goes back up in the afternoon, or back down in the afternoon.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's just like a poop show, isn't it?
Yeah.
A poop show. Hear what I said, a poop show. Who says poop show? Who says poop show?
In our new...
I'm not a man.
Today we're practicing not swearing.
Oh, it's a poop show. It's a piddly poopy.
It's fake poop.
It's a dirty diaper show.
Google's poop. Mm.
You know, that just says everything about the guy. That press conference, the flag. When you can't step outside of yourself long enough to just be sort of... Just do the job that's required. Be human. Be the president for a moment and say, you know what, folks? Forget what I think about anything and all this fake news. Let's take a moment now and remember a really great American that served this country admirably for a long time. And I realize we had our differences. But in the end, you know, we're all public servants here. And let's take a moment. And even though we, you know, even though we weren't always on the same page, et cetera.
Well,
that's what human beings
yes.
do.
Yes, here, here.
Thank you.
But he's...
Howard Glass.
He's not all there. He's mentally ill.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He definitely is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very concerning. By the way, that John McCain funeral, there will be a Canadian flavor, you know.
Hmm.
NHL player Shane Doan will be one of his pallbearers.
Wow.
John McCain was apparently a big sports fan, and being from Arizona, I guess he went to Coyotes games the odd time, whatever.
Yeah.
But he and Shane Doan, who's recently retired, became pretty good buddies. And Shane Doan will be one of the pallbearers.
When you told me this after the show yesterday, you just think about, not that, you know, taking nothing away from the relationship with an NHL hockey player, but, you know, the guy lived a long life. You just imagine how close they must have gotten to be one of the guys holding his casquette.
And it's... You know, it's interesting too. People with class.
We're both typing and trying to do a show.
Well, for the thing is, though, you know, taking away from his political career, McCain served his country when Donald chickened out. Right? He ran for politics on principle.
Well, no, but you know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not even about McCain's record.
No,
and you know, McCain was a politician and said a lot of crappy things about Obama. Sure. But all of that aside, you know, it's all just politics.
Right.
And at some point, you just have to be the president mm-hmm. and be presidential and put aside your petty, narcissistic, sociopathic behavior long enough to go, you know, as the guy representing the whole country now, one of our
senators,
well, and a one of our distinguished citizens has passed away. Mm-hmm. Let's take a moment to not be politicians and weirdos and just acknowledge that this person's passed.
Right.
And it has some meaning to us.
And, you know, clever people, through their support of John McCain, could take subtle shots at Donald Trump, which I like. Because Shane Doan, he issued quite a lengthy statement on the death of John McCain, but he started it off by saying Senator McCain was a shining example of what a modern leader should be, and then goes on from there.
Yeah.
No, that's a direct shot at asshole 45.
Hey, what? Come on now.
You say asshole.
You can't. Not on regular. No, you can't.
You can't say asshole.
On regular radio.
I think you're wrong.
I bleeped it. I bleeped it when we did.
I think you're just doing one of your classic
okay.
comedy
Bumhole
bits.
Bumhole 45.
Bumhole, where the poop come from?
Bumhole doesn't have the same sting. That, ooh, that bumhole.
Bumhole 45.
Mr. Rear.
Rear bum.
Rear bum.
Took us 45. I did hear the word penis on that station yesterday in one of their promos.
What station?
On the station, which, by the way, we have an announcement
to make.
Oh,
that station.
Yeah, the station. Mm-hmm. We have an announcement to make. We'll do it after this first break. But yeah, I heard the word penis.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I was just surprised to hear it in a promo. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a comedy bit. It was one of their promos about someone writing penis on your face when you pass out at a party.
Oh.
And I thought, that's pretty good. I mean, it was a clever promo. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's... You know, since the last time we were on regular radio, you didn't write penis on people's faces.
Right.
Or the poop would hit the fan. Poop hole. you know what else we should talk about before we go to this first break? How about our week 12 hotspot winner? Hotspot. Gig Sky. Gig Sky and I. Gig Sky and I. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Our Gig Sky winner was Eric Magditch.
Remember Eric? Just a great guy.
No, he's from Brampton. Lives not far from where I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that Eric from Brampton or is it... who's
no,
Eric
it
from Kingston?
Oh, Eric Tremblay.
Okay, that's Eric Magditch. Yeah, he's a good guy.
He has some upcoming travel plans. He and his wife are going to Italy and on a Mediterranean cruise early September, which includes a stop in Marseille and Cassis, where Humble was recently.
Cassis.
Recently.
Beautiful.
Anyway, he will be traveling with a Gig Sky hotspot.
Here.
Hotspot.
Yes, and he will be enjoying all the conveniences of what a Gig Sky can bring when you're traveling, especially abroad. Not with abroad. When you're traveling abroad. No, they don't like that.
No, they don't.
But anyway, he gives us a memorable travel story, which I won't share with you right now because it's quite lengthy.
Yes.
But we fully appreciate his participation. And Eric, again, our latest Gig Sky winner. In fact, will there be more?
No, that's it. That's the week.
Down?
That is the week. That's the
end.
This
is week 12
week
winner.
Week 12,
so
get her.
We thank you, everyone, for participating in the Gig Sky contest this summer. Of course, Gig Sky will still be around with the Humble and Fred Show, and there's more neat stuff to come.
The Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, protecting Canadians for over 40 years, more than 30,000 small to mid-sized businesses. And lots of Humble and Fred people signing up. The Chambers plan, it's for your benefit because it's simple, stable, and smart. Employee benefits don't need to be confusing because sometimes things are confusing. Small businesses should check it out. Several of our listeners have, with smaller businesses have actually signed up for the Chamber plan, and we appreciate it. Check out all the details, chamberplan.ca. And when we come back from this, first little break, we will tell you how things are shaping up. It's Humble and Fred Radio around the world, the most downloaded podcast in Canadian podcast history.
Yeah!
That's no poo!
Yeah.
HumbleandFredRadio.com.
We got no losing here. One by one, we're losing here. Reckless.
All right, it's Humble and Fred Show, Humble and Fred Radio, Humble and Fred Network. The new Humble and Fred distribution network, which we can tell you, we're already part of Bell Radio. You can hear us on News Talk 1010 every weekend and on Funny 820 AM in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And we're just talking to some of those people yesterday because I was a little concerned. I was telling Freddie, because I've been listening to 820. It's got stand-up comedians, you know, from around the world. Some Canadian, a lot of Americans, you know, all very good. And I said to Fred, recently I was coming home and the signal was weak here, which is unusual because the signal is ridiculous, super strong, right?
Right.
And we were talking to some people from that station yesterday, and they've been doing some work on their transmitter. And now it's a 50,000 watt transmitter. It's back up to about 30,000, but it was down, and I was sort of concerned. Driving around my house here the other day, I couldn't get it. But then they said, well, they've boosted it back up.
Yes.
Almost all the way. And I was right in the heart of the city yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal clear.
No, I know.
Like thick, juicy.
No, I know. When it's 50.
Like a big AM steak.
Nice burger.
And when it's 50, it'll be like,
oh,
everywhere, man. Everywhere.
So a quick announcement. We were going to start on our new station, which we could not allow to tell you what it is. But we're going to start next Tuesday.
No.
Monday.
A week from Monday.
Mm-hmm.
A week from Monday. September 10th hour.
No, we were going to start.
Oh, we were going to. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now we're going to start on Tuesday, Monday, September 10th.
Uh-huh. I thought you said we're going to start
on Tuesday. Going to.
We were going to.
We were going to. Juicy steak.
All right.
Start on this juicy steak. I'm trying to make the announcement that we've been delayed a week.
Yes, I'm seeing now.
Right.
I'll shut up.
No, please. Just jump in.
We were going to start on Tuesday, September 4th. Instead, it is Monday, September 10th.
Thank you. Here's a question for you.
Mm.
Have you seen season 2 of The Crown?
Yeah.
anyway, that's what I wanted to say. All things are moving along. There's technical stuff. And it seems like it's a done deal. Except not quite yet. You know, it's amazing when
over here and rub this crown. Come on.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, once it gets active,
when it's like
let me know. When poop will hit the fan. Okay. Let's welcome to this program. You see, we're trying not to swear now. We're practicing.
You're doing pretty well with it. I've noticed that. Absolutely. Swear.
No, I know, but we can't even say shit. On the new radio thing, because you can't say that on the regular radio. You know, we've got, I'll tell you who's going to be a star of the new show. This Tim Niblett fellow. Wait till the Golden Horseshoe gets a hold of this sweet angel. Tim's a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Niblett.
Woo!
Tim Niblett. Professor Nibblesworth is in the house.
Hello.
You know, and I read what you sent us yesterday, The Power of 1%, and I just, my mind just was blown away. Explain what the power of 1% is.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I triple-checked stuff this morning when I got up because I'm like, that can't be true. I know that it is, but I just have to do it again. So, you know, day by day, little incremental things don't really seem to mean a lot, and I'm sure in things other than finances too, whether it's health as well as wealth and relationships and so on. But, yeah, I was just doing a projection last week. I think they'll become clients, super people from the radio show yet again. Humble and Fred works. And, yeah, we put in first at 6% because that's kind of what you would... You don't want to promise too high over time or make a plan based on 10% return. That's not proper. But, yeah, the difference, Fred, between 6% growth over the next 40 years, I mean, they're hopefully going to live a long time, and 7% growth was over $1 million. And notice, it's not like they had $10 million to start with. They just had, you know, like mid-hundreds of thousands of dollars, like many people do.
Did you say 40 years?
Yeah, they're well, we'll say 50 on average or whatever, so hopefully they'll live to 90, right? So they've got 10, 15 years of accumulation, hopefully 30 years of decumulation.
So that 1% stretched over that time, when you're averaging that return, can be $1 million.
Over $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah. I just did this morning. I did $600,000 at 6% for 40 years, and it was like $6.4 million or whatever. Sizable amount. That's assuming you're never taking anything out, which, of course, you would. But just apples and apples, same time frame, 1% more, $8.9 million, $2.5 million.
Wow.
More.
Based on what per?
1% more.
No, but contributing how much a month?
Well, in this case, I just did static.
Oh, just starting with $600,000.
Yeah. I'm just double checking. Yeah.
I can't remember if it was Einstein. Or the other guy, the
Archimedes.
Him. Who's the guy from Theory of Relativity? What's his name?
Hawking's.
Thank you. I can't remember. Was one of those two said that the most powerful force in the universe was compound interest?
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been Einstein. But the point is, and we had talked about this years ago when we used to do this bit on the old Ed show, where we gave away $1 million, but all we gave was each year, we did this a couple times, where we would give an RSP worth $1,000 to somebody, and we would tell them, you know, if you're in your mid-20s, and you put this $1,000 in the bank, over time, it will turn into $1 million, theoretically. But the idea of the interest compounding annually over time, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not only a great lesson for people as they get near retirement, but it's a great sort of something for people to think about, Tim. As you invest, no matter what age you are, a little bit, like, you know, one less cup of coffee or one less something a week invested over time is a lot of money.
Yeah, it can make a huge difference. I mean, one of the reasons I was thinking of this was Fred and I were talking a few weeks ago about whether GIC should be in somebody's portfolio or not, right? And GICs right now are paying 2%, maybe 3% at most, depending on the time frame. If you got long-term growth going on, we talk about risk being the volatility of things being up and down more. Well, the risk is not having a lot of gold in the pot at the end of the rainbow, too, right? So there's lots of ways to play the risk game or to have it play you.
So what was our point there, and what was the deal on GICs again? I forget.
Well, we're just talking about when GICs could be of value, and then we morphed into whether it should be part of an RSP portfolio.
Right. Well, because GICs generally return 2% and 3%, and if that's your thing, though, it's guaranteed. But you're missing out on a couple points of growth over time again,
right?
And it can actually cost you a lot of money. Yeah, you might feel safe and secure in the short term, but over time, it's not serving you as well, I think, is your point.
It's false economy, as the saying would go, right? Absolutely.
Fake economy.
Yes.
So what do we do? In order to maybe grab an extra point of growth, what are some of the things the Sherpa suggests?
Amen, brother. Most Canadians' first mistake they do is they're too much inside of Canada. Canada's only 4% of the world, you know, stock market. So classically, you wouldn't want to have 60% of your investments within 4% of your choices, right? And just past that, of course, the States has been a heck of a lot better long before the Donald got in there even as well. So, you know, you got to look outside the borders.
I know that early on, in my investing life, that there were some restrictions on foreign investments, U.S. investments. What are those for people?
They're
now?
They're gone now, aren't they?
Yeah, long gone. Okay. Long gone.
So
there had been fanfare when it went from, I think, 20% to 30% foreign content.
So right, now so you could be 100% foreign content.
Yeah. Amen.
But, you know, there was a time you could.
Oh, too. No, I remember. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I remember when it was like 60-40 or something.
Yeah, so part of why that changed to my belief is the fund companies came up with instruments that looked Canadian but weren't. They used futures contracts, and you're actually invested outside of Canada, but it was secured by T-bills. I'll not get any deeper. But they, you know, could be Canadian but 100% foreign, and I think that was the beginning of the end of those rules there.
Well, whatever happened, it wasn't to make less money for people.
No, absolutely. I mean, another thing we talked about in the past is, you know, so the GIC would be part of this as an example is, you know, you want to play some defense in your portfolio. I get it. But we go on offense on defense. You know, we have things that aren't correlated to the market that don't mm-hmm. have any volatility to them, but can return 6, 7, 8, 9% instead of 2 or 3, which makes a huge difference, right? So another thing most Canadians do, especially right now where interest rates are, and Americans as well, you know, they just play defense, but they don't score any goals on it. We want to be scoring goals on defense for our clients.
Well said, well put.
But also, I would imagine as we wrap this up, you want to caution people against being too volatile. And, you know, on the one hand, you got GICs, which might be a bit too defensive. But there's a conversation to be had with the Sherpa, I think. If you're, you know, you'd look at somebody's portfolio and you would tell them, I think you're too, you're invested in too many risky sectors and you have too much exposure.
Oh, absolutely. You can go the other way. I rarely see that, mind you, but you can be prudently aggressive, right? If you mix and match things right, you scientifically look at the correlation of different asset classes or geographies and make sure they don't all do the same thing at the same time, you can have just a smoother ride, but you can have a lot better potential return.
I could take a couple hundred grand and bet on the Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup. Would that be prudent?
I think that'd be brilliant. It depends on your time frame, though.
That's right.
Now, I did
want to mention, have to wait over another 50 years. What?
I heard you guys talking about our girl, Brooke Henderson, on Monday, and she was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about it enough. Let me just say goodbye to you as a portfolio manager, and then you can hang in and have a conversation about Brooke. Tim's a portfolio manager. He knows that. You should, too. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. And just know this. Whether you're ready to do this now, what a great conversation to have. Hit him up. Lots of our listeners have. The response we've had is, you know, considering what Tim does and offers, the response has been amazing, I think. It's just because it takes people a while to get their head around, you know, changing investors or having someone like you look. Tim will look at your stuff, even if you don't need Tim's expertise now. Let him have a look at what you're doing, and he'll give you a second opinion. There you go. What do you think of that?
I think it'd be great. Yeah, it's funny. Things come in fits and starts, of course, as you know, and we know, and we've talked. And right now, I'm probably busier from Humble and Fred types than ever. So it's great. And just awesome people, right? Really, really.
Well, that makes
us
feel warm.
And they love their Humble and Fred show. That's that's like crack for some of them,
sure.
Which is very disappointing.
We don't understand. We're you know what? Considering how beloved we are by so few, I mean, we have a very niche audience. This Brooke Henderson thing, I said to Freddie, it was, you know, it's historic, you know, from a golf perspective, but I've been, you know, reading all the other online stuff, the Golf Channel, NBC, and the people that cover golf, and they're all tickled by the response the Canadians. The story now, a couple days later, is the fact that as she was, I think as she was either getting the trophy or coming up the 18th hole, people started singing, "Oh, Canada." Like, it was pretty great stuff, and the rest of the golf community has seen it as such. Like, not only is it great for a Canadian to win it, but just the manner of which she was celebrated by us Canadians was pretty good.
She barely missed a shot down the stretch, too. I don't know if you watched her play the last couple of holes.
I know. She shot 65 or something last round.
She was right down the middle of the fairway where the colors kind of change right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right on the pin. She missed two putts that lipped out that could have gone in. I mean, she was just...
Yeah, she didn't back into it. She took it. It was great.
If you played her, you.
Yes.
And you played off the same tees.
Yes.
Would that happen?
Would what happen?
Could she play off the same tees as you?
The tees I play?
Yeah.
No, she would dust me.
She would dust you?
Even from 6,700. They played that course. Well, great question, because I played that course a year ago in the Canadian Mid-Am, and we played it at 6,700 or 6,800 yards. They played it, I think, at 6,300 yards or so. I mean, she still would have been fine. She's very, very good. You know, that. But, I mean, from the tees that she plays, you know, I couldn't shoot 65. I shot 86. On a shorter golf course in Victoria. By the way, those greens were bananas.
Mm.
Did you know I had 42 putts in one round?
Ouch.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch. I've tried that before. It doesn't work very well.
No, does not work.
I asked that because there was quite a declaration. I think it was on the Sportsnet website saying that she is, without a doubt, like the best golfer Canada has ever produced. Do you think that's a little early?
I don't, I mean, I'm hesitating because she's by far the best Canadian golfer to come along in many, Canadian woman golfer to come along in many generations, maybe the best of all time, because she's won two majors now. The next best Canadian woman, I think, has won one, Sandra Post, years ago. But I don't think winning that tournament is big as winning the Masters for Mike Weir. I don't think so.
No, definitely not. I think we all believe she will be the best ever because she's 20.
Yeah, she's 20.
I mean, even George Knutson going a little old school there. I mean, he was unparalleled in his ball striking ability for a decade on the PGA Tour, right? So,
but only won eight. Not only one. He won eight times, and he and Weir have won the same amount, but he never won a major. George Knutson.
Wasn't there another Canadian golfer got chopped up by an outboard engine or something too?
Yeah, Jim Nelford.
Jim Nelford, right.
Great guy, by the way.
Sort of screwed up his career.
Yeah, he was... Yeah, yeah, it's terrible. He never came back from it. He got his arm chopped up by a motor.
Yeah.
He was no Disco Dick Zocal, that's for sure.
Now, we had some good players in Canada. As far as the best of all time, I think Tim makes a great point. She's 20 years old, and if she can... She's won 7 times in her 2.5 years. This kid's been a phenomenon. You know, there was a bit of a controversy because the LPGA had, at the time, I'm not sure if they do, had an age restriction. Because a lot of these young Korean girls and these kids from... other countries were coming onto the tour, you know, age 16, 17, and they couldn't get status. So basically the rule was Brooke Henderson got some sponsors exemption. She got to play in a few tournaments and did very well, and she wanted to join the tour, and they wouldn't let her, so she went and won a tournament.
Wow.
And that's how she got her status.
Mm-hmm. What I think sucks, though, is on the women's tour, the purse is actually a purse. They give them a purse.
Right? Yeah.
And it's, I find that very sexist.
So sexist.
No, what would the purse have been?
It was a beautiful silver purse. From Reitman's. It came from Reitman's.
A Kate Ullman or whatever? A Kate Upton or whatever? Anyway, whatever that... Anyway.
It was a Versace.
What would the purse
have been? I would guess about $600,000 or something.
Really? The total purse, I think, was just under $2 million, and first prize would have been,
20-year-old kid. And then her endorsements must be... Because she's huge. International, really, obviously.
Not only is she international, she got international endorsements, but apparently, and I read about this, the entire tournament, all the pictures, all the posters, the programs, were all Brooke Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, how often does it happen that the marquee person that's helping promote your event actually turns out to win it?
And she's a sweetie. She's a cutie.
Super good kid.
She's a cutie, which is, honestly, he's not going to hurt either.
Not at all. On the golf podcast, the Swing Thoughts, a couple of years ago, I mentioned this, we had spoken to her coach. And, he'd been working with her since she was a little kid. He just said, you know, you're not going to believe this kid's the real thing. And she is.
I'd say.
She's very, very long. She hits it long for anyone, not
and
just
with
for a
choking
woman.
Up big,
well,
too.
Yeah, but she chokes down on those. That driver of hers, a standard driver, I think, is 44 and a half inches. Her driver's like 46 or 47. So she's choking down on it to make it sort of a regular length. But that's how she's always, I guess she did that from being a little kid, you know, playing with longer clubs. But, she hits it pretty good. And as you say, straight down the middle and...
She probably hits a 270, 280 when she rocks it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And straight. And unfortunately, she had committed to the University of Florida. I can't not get that in there. But she chose pro. So I think she made the right choice.
That's the one thing that sticks with
Other than that, she's really
all
good.
All right. All right. There's Tim Niblett. You should check him out. In the meantime, Fred, why don't we talk a little bit about some of our other friends? How about the folks over there at FYI Music News? They're doing great.
Oh, yeah. Lovely people.
Lovely people.
How about this? Our friend Gary Slate receives the Berklee College Honorary Doctorate degree.
Wow.
Congratulations to Gary Slate. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hey, check out the career section. It's freshly baked. You can find out, you know, jobs in and around the music industry you might be interested in. Dean Brody returns to his roots with Dirt Road Stories Tour. Dean Brody, of course, a huge Canadian country artist, and you can read all about Canada's all-time best-selling albums. That's a very interesting read. You might be surprised by some of the results. Today's new track is Chris Valen, Amateur Hour. FYIMusicNews.ca.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's all. We're talking to, I was talking to Barker yesterday, our producer. I'm not sure she was going to make an appearance today.
She said a short one.
Short one. Anyway, we're lining up. Now, we were going to launch the new show on the new platform next Tuesday. It's now the following Monday, September 10th. We made that announcement. That was only a few minutes ago. Surely you remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't call me Shirley.
Anyway. Okay.
Shirley MacLaine.
Okay. Airplane. Okay. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, USS. So we're pretty close to announcing that on our first week, now pushed back a week, scheduled to appear USS
Woo!
On the show.
Even, oh,
Yeah.
Even though it's been changed?
Yeah. All right. I'm saying, I talked to her yesterday. We should have really sent her a note as soon as that meeting was over. Anyway, I talked to her yesterday afternoon. And there's a really good chance we're going to have those guys on next week because she couldn't change it. We are happy to announce there's a very strong possibility the Trues will be back.
Hey. Oh, nice.
With us in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Like the Trues.
Like the
They're
Trues.
Very good.
Like it.
Yeah.
Like it very much.
Yeah.
Very successful Canadian band as well, mm-hmm. the Trues. They get some good endorsements too, I would imagine. Mm.
Are they good in concert? Yeah. I can imagine
energy,
that.
Live, and,
yeah,
fun.
Live energy.
Like it.
Live energy.
And speaking of music and Canadians, Neil Young and Daryl Hannah got married. They actually tied the knot.
Oh.
Never saw that one. Always blew me away. What she saw in him. But he must be a really nice guy. Doesn't seem like an odd couple to you, Neil Young, Daryl Hannah?
Well, I find that interesting. Coming from
All right.
Well, no.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was at least young. I mean, Daryl Hannah hooks up with him when he's like an old guy. I mean, that relationship isn't that long.
No, you imagine that. A young, beautiful woman hooking up with an old guy. What is that like? Jesus. Come on. Come on, son. I don't know. Hey, listen, the heart knows what the heart knows. Today is the 9-month anniversary of myself and GFR.
Hey.
Girlfriend Rachel.
Nine months.
Yes, 9 months.
Wow.
9 months. I've got a girlfriend. I saw the girlfriend last night. Just for, I went out for dinner at a hip Toronto spot. You know, I eat so much at service-inspired restaurants. Every once in a while, you know, you got to go somewhere else. And I got to tell you, it's expensive in this city.
Yeah?
But the great thing about Jack Astor's and Scatterbush and those things, you go in and get a great meal, and you're not spending a poop ton of money.
Right.
Poop ton. Poopy ton. Where I went last night, I had a brisket sandwich with some greens. And it was like $24.
What?
For just like meat on a bun. Buns and meat.
Buns and meat.
For buns and meat. For $24 for buns and meat.
Buns and meat.
Buns and meat.
Did you have cake and tea after? What was that?
There was no money left for after.
Yeah, $36 for cake and tea.
No, it was, we had some sourdough bread as an appetizer. Then we had these little olives that you get. And I had my drink was a kombucha.
Ah, kombucha.
And a sandwich. You okay over there?
Yeah, no, I'm just listening. Maybe your tooth was bothering you now. Not at all.
Because
I was just concentrating on your dinner.
No, but you know, yeah, like I mean, just, maybe your tooth was hurting.
No.
Take you to the dentist.
Howie.
Anyway, yeah, it was the two of us had just kind of a light dinner for $84. Yeah.
What did Rachel have?
Some kind of Niçoise salad with the potatoes and the Niçoise and the egg and some tuna. And that little thing was $24. It's an expensive city, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
But we're in a mature relationship, so we split dinner, you know?
You did?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh.
I mean, I buy... Every once
Why do you split dinner? Why don't you just, like, you buy one time, I'll buy it the next?
Well, we do that, too.
Then I guess you could lose track of who paid last, knowing you.
Oh, wow!
You couldn't remember.
I see, yeah, because I wouldn't. I just keep paying or not?
Yeah.
I thought you meant, like, knowing
you. I can't remember.
Being, you know, one of your people.
No.
Yeah.
No, I was saying, I'm talking about your memory.
Oh, okay.
Free buns and meat.
I thought about your memory like 2 nights before. Who paid last? I can't remember.
No, we do that. I mean, I'll buy her dinner. Mm-hmm. Like on, you know, I'll say, let me get this. And then once in a while she does the same. But generally, if we're eating out, which we do, you know, we share it. It's, but at this city, man, it's crazy how much shit is.
Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
Well, I wouldn't know, eh? The friend, man, it's like there. You talk about the Trump wall. It's like there's a wall... just east of Islington.
Right.
Right, so I come down and I'm looking at the city and I... Although the skyline of the city has just been destroyed, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's just full of these condo buildings.
From the west, it used to be so majestic with the dome and the tower. It's all hidden behind those big, ugly condos now.
Horrible. Where's the lake?
Huh?
Where's the lake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can't see it from Woodbridge.
No, not from Woodbridge.
Right, anyway, I venture into the city, but it's like there's a big wall. Just on the other side is like the ice. Yeah,
let me tell you, on the other side, it's $84 for a burger. It's Humble and Fred Radio, all around the world at humbleandfredradio.com.
Well, I busted all the bones out of my yard, and I fixed the screen door, raised the barn, but still you call me from the moon every single afternoon. Tell me all about the astronauts you come to love, and now the earth looks from above, and now I should have been a better friend to you. But I've never seen life as a chore, a treasure for...
The most downloaded podcast in Canadian podcast history. Yeah, look it up. That's what we're saying to people now.
Is it?
Well, it's true.
Okay.
I decided one day a few weeks ago it was true. We've done more episodes. More episodes. Mm-hmm. All that CBC ruckus, Here to Now, Quirky Quirks, or whatever they do those shows. Quirky Now and
Quirky
Then.
Quirky Quirks is definitely
the... Quirkies.
Quirks and Quirks.
Here and Then, Now and Again, all those shows.
Here and Now is pretty great.
Whatever. They're great.
With Carol Alt.
But they're not doing day after day for 7 years the most downloaded podcast in Canadian podcast history. Mm-hmm. The Humble and Fred Show welcomes Amanda Barker, producer, executive producer.
Hi.
Humble and Fred Show.
Is Gameshi still doing his podcast?
No, I do not believe so. I believe Ian Blundell are doing a thing together.
No, Gameshi was. He was doing a podcast.
It's like a hot second, wasn't it? I mean...
Yeah, I don't think it lasted very long.
What's it? You got a little thing hanging off your neck right now. A little piece of material. There, you got it. It was just hanging and dangling. It was funny.
It's like
your beard. Huh?
Like a baby goiter?
Yeah.
I love the fact that we're now verbally grooming one another. Like a second ago, I was like, dude, you got something in your teeth because you're like doing this.
Well, it's important. He's
you know what's important?
At it. What?
You.
Oh.
You being here.
Hi.
Barker was just in Wicked Boston.
I was in Wicked Boston.
Just there on the weekend for a wedding.
I was. Matt and Kelly's wedding.
Gibson, oh, my God.
The Gibson Harper nuptials.
Oh, my God. Was it great?
It was great.
Was it fantastic?
Yeah. Ara.
So Ara. You, Maddie, take Kelly to be your lawfully wedded wife. Tab and hold.
Tab and hold.
To this day forward. I'm not used to having earphones that work.
Yeah. Well,
I slipped back into
a whole new world here.
It is a whole new world.
What do you got going on your nails there? You got some kind of cool new nail vibe going on.
No, it's not cool.
Are you up for a roll?
Oh,
is these a roll?
No, it was from the wedding, but then I got it all chipped, so then I tried to do it in the car and in the cup.
Looks like you've got whiteout on your fingers.
That's pretty much it. It's whiteout finger nails.
This wedding you were at, was there God talk or was it just...
No. No. No, there's basketball talk. He's in...
No. I'm saying during the nuptials, was there like God talk?
I don't think there was, actually. Oh, yeah. I think God was not present.
Yeah, good. People are getting away from that nonsense.
Yeah, no God. Just some sailboats.
Well,
they
aren't. They're not getting away from it overall. Like, the number... Like, America's still mostly Christian.
Well,
like,
no,
it's
no,
insane.
No, but most of the young people weddings I've been to recently, there's no God talk.
I don't think there was any God. He does analytics for the Dallas Mavericks, so it was a lot of basketball and a lot of basketball players. Very lost on me. I was very short.
Were there some Dallas Mavericks there?
I don't know. There were people that people got excited about, but I don't know who any of those people are.
Oh, they probably
were. They were tall men.
Yeah, generally that happens in a lot of basketball teams.
Jeez, can you NBA players make so much money? Can you imagine the envelopes they were putting in the basket?
Better than my towels that I gave them. I feel like I should have done better, but oh well.
Well, I'm going to a young person's wedding in a few weeks. And what are you supposed to...
350.
What?
350 is the going rate.
350?
So were those towels worth 350?
No.
So
but because, okay, here's my thing. Because my mom gave $500 from our family,
right.
but then I was the only one that actually showed up from our family, and frankly, they gave me $200, and their whole family showed up for my wedding, so I feel like $150 in towels is fine.
Yeah, it's good.
Do you know what I mean?
But these people, you're saying I'm going to a wedding.
Yeah. We're in Ontario?
In Ontario.
Yeah, 350.
And there's two of us going because I'm taking GFR.
Yep.
I'm going to wear a suit and tie.
Is this a wedding where anybody is like Portuguese, Italian, Hebrew?
No.
Like, is it a money
this
wedding?
This is a manja cake wedding.
Oh, then you're probably fine with some towels.
No, I was going to say, there's two of us. I was going to say, I thought the going rate was you have to cover the cost of what your...
Which is $350 usually.
What, really?
Yeah. I thought it was for like... For my wedding, it was like $300.
You're talking $175 a plate now?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Is that what she's saying?
Yeah. My wedding was $175 a plate, yeah.
So I got to come up with $350?
The going rate on my wedding was $300, and that was 8 years ago.
I was complaining about spending $24 on a hamburger last night at this
hipster. Where is this wedding?
It's a Glen Abbey, man. This is like Burlington, Oakville.
Yeah, $350. Oh, that's a $350-er.
Seriously.
$350.
That's funny. You get an invitation to a wedding, and then you think, oh, that's nice, and then you think, oh, $350.
It's expensive. You got to take a part-time job.
Why was I invited? But yeah, that, and you know, it's, I find it, you explain the towel thing. Well, when I see weddings now and people actually come in with actual gifts, why bother? Why not just give money?
Yeah.
Because you know the recipients would much rather have money than towels.
But my thing is, if you're going to give money, then the bride and groom needs to account for that and not just have a basket sitting in the middle of a field.
Yes.
You need to have, if I'm going to be putting some money in an envelope, cash or whatever, mm-hmm. people need to take precautions.
Okay. Oh, without. I just want to get back to the $350 for a second.
Yeah.
Can that be... $50 cash and $300 in service-inspired restaurant gift certificates.
I was going to say Jackass.
Can I not give them
card.
Jackass's gift cards? I'll give them $400. What do you say about that?
Well, what do I say about that? Yeah. They probably like that.
Yeah,
I would like it.
It's nice food.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't do it, but I would probably like it.
It's still a monetary value. Some money.
I mean, I like this kid.
Who is it's this Alex. Kid to you?
Oh, is that this weekend?
No, it's on the 22nd. Yeah. He's a guy I golf with. In fact, he was out in Vancouver with his fiance, Sophie. Beautiful.
Hello.
And, but they're not, I'm not super close. I'm not, here's $350.
I'm just telling
for
you.
For dinner.
Glen Abbey, two people, going rate is $350. I'm not lying.
Oh, no, I believe you.
Yeah.
And you know what the problem is, too, with that? $350 seems odd. Mm-hmm. You might as well make it $400.
I know,
it just sounds
true.
Better.
I was going to say, why not three?
Well, three, all no, I'm saying four. Is three was 8 years ago, and that was my wedding. That was the going standard rate
look
8 years
you.
Ago.
He's look at the, you're just happy you don't have a wedding for $400. That's almost $500,000.
I'm still feeling bad about my towel decision.
I'm in my retirement years.
How old is this guy?
30.
Do you figure if you gave him $400 in gift certificates from
Jack Astor's?
Yeah. For a young couple like that, it'd be they have a few dinners to look forward to, an excuse to go out.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I actually think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. If you have them.
Do you think my idea of giving them some gift certificates is the right thing to do?
I actually do.
I think it's a great idea, too.
I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about the return of Louis C.K. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm not sure if you are, Barkatolis. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 10 months ago... Louis C.K., let's review, masturbated in front of women, was against their enjoyment.
Their leg.
Against their enjoyment. They didn't want it. Yeah, that's right. Sour face. Yeah.
What?
Because he said jerk it against the leg.
Yeah. I was just picturing.
Yeah,
I was just
Fred. Yeah, Fred.
Feeling
boo.
That in my mind.
Sorry.
Boo.
What do you mean, boo, Fred?
Boo, Fred. Sorry.
Why are we booing Fred?
Because he made a horrible statement.
He
thinks
that's what he did. He jerked
thinks,
off on legs.
He did?
I know. He thinks that I just offended you as a woman.
Oh, what? Really?
He did. Wait a second. He didn't jerk off, not Fred, but he didn't jerk off against legs, did he?
You don't know. Maybe.
Oh, I see.
The allegations that he jerked off in front of people.
Well, I say boo that.
It may have dribbled on legs.
Was that it? Or wasn't it into planters, or was that somebody else?
No, that was Harvey Weinstein off into a planter.
Yeah, the old planter jerk.
That thing. You know, when you're at a restaurant and you can't control yourself, so you jerk it into a ficus. So, but whether Louis C.K., I don't believe he schmorped on anybody. But the fact is, I just wanted to remind everyone what he admitted to doing. Mm-hmm. And two or three nights ago on Sunday at a place called the Comedy Cellar in NYC, he took to the stage unannounced, did 10 or 15 minutes, made no reference to the Me Too thing, and there was about 100 people in the audience, well-received. Although the next day there was some email sent to the comedy club owner, a few in support and one saying, hey, I would have liked to been warned if, you know, I would have wanted to not chosen to be there, etc. But I just wanted to get your thoughts, Amanda, on is it too soon? Can he come back? Etc., etc.
I don't. For me, it's never a timing thing. It's all about an owning thing. And I don't know that his act always will have to have some ownership of that. I don't know that there's a way around that. And I think that's the only way past that. But I don't. What he doesn't get to do is come back and start touring. He doesn't get to do that. That doesn't happen. A friend of mine wrote a great piece in the Beaverton and said Louis C.K. goes into Comedy Cellar, closes the door, and says this will only take 7 to 10 minutes.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I've seen several articles. I've got a few open here. The ones written by women, as you would have imagined, are not very flattering and not accepting of his return. One of the articles mentions that also Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, a few others, Matt Lauer especially, had mentioned recently to some reporters that, you know, he's looking to come back to TV. And I, in my mind, and they're all bad, but the Matt Lauer one is the one that's badder, I would say.
He was diabolical.
He was, thank you, great word.
Right?
He literally had a thing installed in his office where you could lock the door and you couldn't leave.
That's insane.
And he basically assaulted these women / raped.
Well, oh, coming back to TV, where? Who would have him?
I don't know.
He's going to create his... Well, you could be like... maybe like Bill... What's his head?
Bill O'Reilly?
Bill O'Reilly.
He should start a network.
Well, that's what Bill O'Reilly did. Started his own online thing.
Well, there you go. There it is.
The accusations against Lauer include... flashing a female employee, giving another female colleague a sex toy with a note explaining how he would like to use it on her, and the hidden desk button that he used to lock his office door from inside is the sort of horrific detail you're left with.
I know one of the women who accused Louis C.K. I don't know her well. She's a friend of a friend, but I do know her. She's on my Facebook. And she's had a horrible life since then, frankly. You know, you're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't. If you say... She didn't even say anything. It was just that he made her so uncomfortable. She didn't go to... She stopped going to comedy shows. She stopped doing stand-up. She stopped seeing her boyfriend's comedy shows. She was romantically involved with a friend of his, and that's how he kind of came onto her and started calling her and all these other things. She's moved to Europe, and she's off. She's leaving social media. When Dave Chappelle came up, he was making fun of her because a lot of her allegations involved a phone call, so Dave Chappelle thought it would be a good idea to put that in his act. So then everything resurfaced, and everybody was like, yeah, what, a phone call's not assault, blah, blah, blah. And so she's actually had a really pretty crap life since then, and everyone has come after her. So, you know, you can shut up and not say anything and try to live your life and just avoid comedy and change your life, or you can say anything, but either way, you don't really get... There's no win for any of those women.
So when Louis C.K. came to the stage unannounced, the entire room, I'm reading here, erupted in a standing ovation.
And the bastard doesn't deserve it, because if he wrecks a life like that...
He's wrecked a bunch of lives.
And yeah, how many others has he wrecked? And, you know...
And same with Matt Lauer.
And it's only comedy. They don't deserve really a second chance. Because, you know, in the actual act, when it's actually taking place, they know within themselves the power that they're wielding. Mm-hmm. It's in their minds that I'm going to do this because I know they probably won't say anything because they don't want to screw up their own careers. So that's just horrible.
And it's not as you're, and he's only, as you say, a stand-up comedian. It's not like, we better get Louis C.K. back to working at the plant to keep the generators going.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything other than entertaining people, which is fine, but it's not an essential service.
No.
And neither is Matt Lauer and Charlie Rose and all these other people that have been...
Yeah, but Matt Lauer's not going to go back to a network.
I'm just reading it here. Lauer telling fans not to worry because, in quotations, I'll be back on TV.
What?
Again, he doesn't... It's not necessary to the function.
Who's worried?
Well, no one's worried.
Yeah, right.
Who's... People are freaking out. When is Matt going to come back
career
and do a...
He says, don't worry, I'll be back.
All those billions he made.
No, but and yeah, to do what? Oh, we need Matt Lauer to interview somebody.
We need him back.
We need a cooking segment.
Yeah, exactly. We need Matt in this cooking segment. Yes. It's just not working.
I have an artist that needs to perform in Times Square. Who am I going to get?
Who will introduce them?
Say her name.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up.
I believe in second chances. I just want to say I do believe in second chances. I just think he has to own it.
You know what the sad thing is? A guy like Bill O'Reilly, like he can just decide to resurrect himself, which Matt Lauer could do. Like it's BillO'Reilly.com. And given, he's probably making some not what he made at Fox, but he's probably, because of his brand and who he is, he's probably making some decent coin off this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is.
But even what I thought you were going to say is before you even make decent coin, someone like Bill O'Reilly or Limbaugh or Hannity, they have a constituency
mm-hmm.
that will back them
without a doubt,
in spite of
yeah.
and despite these allegations.
And that's who would follow them to .com.
Right. But mm-hmm. and Matt Lauer doesn't have that. I think Louis C.K. may.
Right.
But,
right. Yes.
But like someone like the things that were. Like, Bill O'Reilly's a bad dude.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of bad things he did to women
mm-hmm.
and made $20 million a year. But even if he's making $20 a year, he's got people that will follow him to his own website to hear the nonsense he spews.
And back to your point about Matt Lauer, like, there's no gradient system. I don't know if jerking off in front of somebody or on their leg or whatever is, but there is... having a button installed that locks a door.
The word you used is perfect. It's diabolical. It's premeditated sexual predatorism.
Yeah. I just made that word
It's
up.
Illegal.
Yeah.
It's rape.
Yeah.
No, but even beyond that, even if he didn't rape them, to actually prevent somebody from leaving
forcible confinement.
Yeah. That's forcible confinement.
Wow.
Well, it's rape-ish.
That's why in Canada we don't have rape. We have sexual assault, and there's levels of it because the belief is that it's all harmful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very interesting, and a lot of this has sort of been stirred up again because Louis C.K. went on stage mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. Sunday to a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm. That's hard, though, because, you know, you do think it's easy for us to sit here and wax. But then if Louis C.K. walked into this room and was like, guys, I want to do a tight five. And you're like, you jerked off in front of my friend.
Phil a jerk off in Louis' leg.
So it's challenging. I mean, we've had that. No, we've had guests who want to come in and not talk about their allegations. And it's a challenging. You want to respect the artists and their art and talk about that. But at the same time, it's.
But that was a missed opportunity for him. He probably should have. Because I always go back to what Letterman did.
Mm-hmm.
Letterman had the best,
right.
just the way he just stood
right.
up there and said it, and it was quick.
Letterman was
him.
Also pre-me too, though.
Well, and also, yeah, and the Letterman circumstances, yeah, absolutely, he owned it,
mm-hmm.
but his circumstances were he had an extramarital affair right. and was apologizing
right.
for that versus putting in a button that allows you to leave a room. I mean, Cosby... This is a whole other world.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But to your point, for Louis C.K. to have any chance at morphing back into himself, he should have started with,
morph.
Don't know if you guys have heard, or something.
Yeah.
It's let me just start by saying.
Name the elephant in the room.
You got to.
Your dick that you like to whip.
Yeah, hey, just came from jerking off. Don't worry, I've already jerked off before I came on the stage.
Something.
Thank you,
Tim. Something.
Something.
Own it.
Yeah.
On some level.
Yeah, just something acknowledging the fact that you basically, you know, played with yourself in front of some women that didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
And you say, if we had the opportunity, if he walked in here, I don't know about that.
No, I don't know.
I think if we had that opportunity, which is crazy because we wouldn't, I think we'd insist that.
Well,
we'd want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show.
Not just let him sit here and do...
Imagine he walked in. Imagine I'm like, guys, this is all set up. Because here he is.
Well, no, you're right. Here's the thing. If we were offered him with some time to think about it, yeah, we would say, well, we can't have him unless we can talk about that.
That would have to be the focus.
But if for some reason he go back to apples to apples, if he walked in here unannounced and, as you say, just wanted to do some time...
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, guys, I'm not really into talking about jerking off and stuff. we would be hard-pressed to refuse Louis C.K. On our show, I think.
And there's different levels of that, because I don't know a lot about him, and I've never really been a fan, so I might have a different position than you. I think the guy's a pig. No. And you might go, geez, Fred, given his stature, maybe we should think about this.
When you were gone, when do we have Jeremy Priven on?
I was going to say, this is who I'm thinking of.
We had Jeremy Priven on the show.
So what did he do?
Similar. Shenanigans.
Yes.
A lot of ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And the caveat was, we can't talk about them. Now, to be fair, I really didn't know about those. I mean, it got lost in the whole...
His were less known, certainly, than Louis C.K., I think.
Right. But, so we had a conversation when you were away with him, and, you know, talked about Entourage and talked about his doing stand-up. And, I really didn't know much about his... But it wasn't like Matt Lauer, and it wasn't like Louis C.K. It was some stuff, but I didn't know about it. And we said yes to the interview because we thought, okay, we'll have this guy on the show.
And it is such a hard line. I still love the Cosby Show, you know?
Yeah.
But he raped a lot of people.
He rapes, but he saves. Let's take a second here, if we can, Mr. Patterson, and talk a little bit about our friends at Strain Print. As I mentioned, Barks, I went into a real dispensary in Victoria. I mean, when I say real, it looked like a David's Tees. It was beautifully appointed. That's coming to Ontario at some point. The revolution is here, and Strain Print can help.
Yes, use cannabis better with the free Strain Print companion app that will help you learn how much more rewarding and beneficial your experience with cannabis can be. There are currently thousands of strains available, and everyone, well, processes cannabis differently. That's why they created the Strain Print app. Now, the app allows you to easily track your journal, track and journal your cannabis experience, and better understand what the best strains are for you. And, you know, to reach optimal symptom relief. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. The app can be easily downloaded for free on the Apple or Google Play Store. Google Play Store.
Gangabang.
Strain Print. Check it out.
I say Nash Vegas, baby, Phil. Yeah. Phil. Yeah. Do you like a Nash Vegas?
I like it in Nash Vegas.
There's 10 new menu items at Jack Astor's. And don't forget the Belgian Moon Wheat Ale. Some of the stuff you may not be aware of. Jack's Fried Chicken Sandwich. The Grand Ole Superfood Bowl. I've had most of these items. The Southern Chicken Wrap is an enormous, filling and satisfying menu item. Jack's Southern Barbecue Burger and so much more. How about the deep fried, do you say pecans or pecans? Deep fried pecan cheesecake rolls.
Oh. What is happening?
Delicioso.
The chocolate butterscotch bourbon pie. So much to choose from. And who knows how much longer. Check out the new Nash. Well, it's not new anymore. It's the Nash Vegas Summertime Menu.
Yes.
Are you with Craig? You seem like a nice person. Are you shocked by this discussion that we're having? All right. Craig Robertson is going to be performing. What's your name? Crystal seems very nice. She's going to be hanging out, watching Craig perform. Just a couple things. Our brand new phone number, which is now up and running.
Yes, 1-833-HF-STINK.
1-833-HF-STINK or...
Oh, right here. 1-833-437-8456.
1-833-HF-STINK.
Very cool. That is actually working. If you're a podcast listener, and if you're hearing us, you are. Feel free to call us during 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. And in 2 weeks, you'll be able to call us live in the GTA. We're on the radio for the first time in the Southern Ontario area, live, since 2005, August. And that alone is pretty exciting. When we come back, Craig Robertson, singer-songwriter to perform. We'll talk about another singer-songwriter that's performing in a remake of a movie that came out when Fred and I were young people. And I want to see what you think about the remake of a... Have you heard about this? A Star is Born?
The movie?
Yeah, it's being remade with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. Who just recently released some naked pictures.
I'm not sure I saw the first one, so, to be honest.
Chris Christopherson and...
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I saw it.
Well, you're aware of it, though.
Oh,
I'm quite
aware of it.
Yeah, you are. You're aware.
I can see the poster in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, There's naked pictures of Lady Gaga that got released, and maybe we'll talk about that.
Gaga.
It's Humble and Fred Radio, the most downloaded podcast in Canadian podcasting history at humbleandfredradio.com.
Want to spend my life with you. And they say things, baby, since we've been together. Ooh, loving you forever is what I need. Let me be the one you come running to. Might as well go for a soul and nobody hurts and nobody cries. Might as well go for a soul and nobody.
Well, this is how it works. We're back. Of course, you're downloading the podcast. We never went anywhere. I just edited out that break. But starting on September 10th, which is a Monday now, this is the latest. Humble and Fred are back on the free radio. But, of course, the most downloaded podcast continues at humbleandfredradio.com. Are we working tomorrow? Do we have to do 4 days? Is that what we're doing? Is it a four-day banger?
Yes, in our contract. But next week, just a three-banger. Or we work for 3 days next week.
Really?
That's it, yeah.
So funny.
And then we get serious.
No, we don't get serious. We stop being... Right. We stop with Sirius. In case you people didn't know, we're no longer on Sirius XM. It is funny, though. We were talking to an old radio friend of ours yesterday out west, because we're trying to get the show to... we're trying to add some stations to our network. Right now, we're on a couple Bell stations. And we talked to some people out there, and he said, so what are you guys talking about? Well, we said, we only work 4 days a week now. And... we only want to work 4 days a week. We don't want to start any earlier than 7.
4 days a week, yeah. 2 hours a day. And what's wrong with that?
We plan to take about 8 to 10 weeks off.
Yes.
So that's how we're doing it now.
Look at Phil, how much he loves that.
Oh, I know.
Because that's him, too.
Oh, Phil. Phil's got the greatest gig in radio.
When you said 8 weeks, see when that look he got in his face when you said 8 weeks?
Oh!
Yeah.
No, seriously, I believe I saw one of his tiny testicles just pop out of his shorts. Don't look, Crystal. Wonton. Don't look. But it's funny how when we talk to radio people and we tell them what our deal is, they're like, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
It is a great deal. Speaking of radio, this gentleman about to make an appearance on our program is a former morning guy, radio guy. We immediately have an affinity for him because he's a cool fellow who has been... I guess we're going to find out, but, did radio and did music, has now gotten, rid of the radio thing, that albatross, and is now doing music. Well, let's find out. Say hello to Craig Robertson.
Hey,
everybody.
Hey,
Craig.
Right. Thank you.
Hello, Craig Robertson.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So this has got to be weird for you, hanging out with the Humble and Fred.
It's freaking weird being on the other side of the microphone. I'm used to interviewing somebody, and now I'm being interviewed, so yeah. I've never, being on the radio was always a kind of a thing, and not terribly nervous or anything like that, the jitters, but, I woke up this morning kind of crapping myself.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Well.
And those that download this podcast, Craig was at 94.9 The Rock, which is Rock in the GTA. I mean, sort of a local Toronto radio station, so you might be familiar with him.
And it's weird, too, because Craig... whose name is Craig, was the morning guy there with somebody, I think, Boomer?
Wendy Boomer.
And then now the latest morning guy there is also named Craig. So maybe that's what they do in Oshawa.
That's what they do.
It's like...
regurgitate
Did you
names.
Like that, Crystal? It's not only just go, well, if we're going to get a new morning show, it has to be named Craig and something.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's a woman.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's got to be Craig and Craig. The best would be two Craigs.
Mm-hmm. They're attractive.
How many Craigs can we get on this show?
Those Craigs in Oshawa are attractive.
Mm-hmm. And you're younger than we are. You said you're like 51. But how long had you been doing radio? I have two questions. Yeah. Did you do radio first and you were always a guitar player, sort of a singer-songwriter on the side? Or is that something you came to later? And then how did you make the decision to move on from the radio?
Lifelong musician. played music as a teenager and wanted to make it a career when I was a young man. And it just, you know, I wanted to make some money and I wasn't able to make any dough. So I thought I want to find something that is kind of loose and kind of, I can be creative and I can stay close to music. And
that wasn't available, so you got into radio.
So I got into radio.
Yeah, that job wasn't around.
That wasn't around.
That where you could be loose and creative.
And cool. So
and cool.
I got into radio, and the radio biz treated me very well, but I was always playing music and playing in bands and playing around. And then about 7 years ago, I decided to take a leap of faith and leave the radio biz and do music, which I'd always been doing basically full-time, but, you know, I was kind of thought of radio as kind of my side gig, and now music is... I'm trying to make it my full-time.
So what is your revenue stream as a musician?
I think it's Crystal. Crystal is the revenue stream.
Yeah, she's over there.
You know, that was a paycheck at the radio station.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And then when you get into music, you don't really know where the next paycheck's coming from.
Yeah, it's hit or miss. Most musicians I know, including myself, we have side gigs. I teach a little bit, still do a little bit of freelance radio.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, make some money doing some gigs, selling some CDs. I just came off of a tour in Montreal and Ottawa. It was successful, made a little bit of dough. And,
good.
You know, it's coming. It's coming.
Well, and I love the name of your record that you're promoting. It's called Late Mornings.
Yeah.
Which, now that we know that you did Real Mornings, is a great name. And
you know, you would have loved that radio station, Rock, 94.9 The Rock, because it's at an airport. The studios are at an airport.
Well, it's funny, because when we first started this project 7 years ago, there was a time when we were talking to those guys at The Rock.
I guess when you had decided to leave.
They needed two more Craigs to replace.
Well, that's what they said. They said, we would love you guys to come here, but only if you change your name. And we said, well, we're kind of comfortable with Humble and Fred. Humble and Craig, maybe.
Maybe.
But that was, we drove out there. I remember that. We had some semi-serious conversations with those guys.
No, we never drove out there.
Didn't we?
No, we had dinner down in Oakville with Steve.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did we drive out there for?
I didn't. Maybe you did. I didn't drive out there. Never been there.
I don't know if this you'll get this reference. We're really becoming the Sunshine Boys.
Yeah.
We really are.
I never drove out to the bloody airport.
Who's Walter Matthau?
It's like, no, I know. It's like Walter Matthau and George Burns.
No, it's just Craig Venice told me about it. And Gallagher told me. Yeah, it's at an airport.
I've flown there.
Okay, that's
one. When I was flying a lot, I flew to Oshawa. You know, I probably went there for lunch. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to you, Craig.
It's a beautiful place.
You're a beautiful place. So what kind of music are you doing? What's your influences? What are we going to hear? I see it says here, echoes of classic R.E.M. and Springsteen.
I love R.E.M., love Springsteen, love old Gordon Lightfoot. Those are my big influences. I'm on a big R.E.M. kick these days, you know, listening to those old early 80s R.E.M. albums. I just love those guys.
Losing My Religion, one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Heard on Yacht Rock recently, I heard Man on the Moon, great record.
Great stuff. And so those are my big influences. My music could probably classified as you know, folk rock, folky.
You do you say hey ho like Lumineers all the time?
No.
Hey, ho.
Are those, I don't know if those are lyrics.
They do that all the time, don't they, Phil? Yeah, hey ho.
I'll say it's working for them.
It's working for them. There's a band that got together on Craigslist. Like, they actually, that's how they formed.
Really?
In the modern age of forming a band, back when I was forming bands, it was like you just knock on your buddy's door, say, hey, man, I need a drummer. Mm-hmm. And those guys actually went on Craigslist, and that's how...
The Lumineers.
The Lumineers.
They did that.
That's how they formed in Colorado, yeah.
Look at this guy. He's got some radio stuff going on there. He's giving us, hey, did you know the Lumineers formed by forming a... Craigslist.
No, that's an interesting tidbit.
I played.
I bet you Alan Cross doesn't know that.
Oh no, he does. Mm-hmm. He probably put out the Craigslist ad. Oh, I'm Alan Cross, and I've done everything. Ooh, hello, Alan Cross. We worked with Alan. You know who Alan Cross is?
I don't know Alan Cross.
Yeah, we worked with
him. You know who he is, though.
I
know who he is. Yeah.
We worked with him, and it was like we were always sort of these doofuses that were making fart jokes while he was changing the world through research.
Watch it. We still have him on the show from time to time.
I know, but
Well, he'd laugh at that. I know. He's got a sense of humor.
Yeah, he's got a sense of humor. I'm Alan Cross, and I know things. Humble and Fred do not. Anyway, Craig Robertson is going to invite you to this Saturday. No, two Saturdays from now in Orillia. Then in Niagara Falls, then in Toronto. But go to CraigRobertsonMusic.com. And we got a good feeling about this kid. He is about to perform
for us? Would you do that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you don't
love
mind
to.
You know, it's cool too, because you know, one of the things musicians always say to us, oh, I don't normally perform at this time of the day. Well, we get it. But you've performed at this time of the day for, you know,
7 years.
Yeah.
We get it because we can't perform at this time of the day either.
I can barely perform at any time of the day. What are you talking about? Fucking sunshine boys, that's who we are. I don't remember driving there. Do you? All we remember is, you know, if you bought us supper, we live like, you know, someone's always buying us supper and telling us how they want us to work for them. All right, Craig, let me hear, get that microphone. What is that, number five? Just get it a little closer if you can. Craig, why don't you just move your whole shift to the left a little bit, if you wouldn't mind. And then we'll just bring the microphone on there. And Sean, just give me a little... Okay, that sounds good for me. Here's Craig Robertson, everybody. Craig!
You never meet me in the morning. Coffee's on for two. You never meet me when you're storming. Darkness sits on you. You never meet me in the middle. Darkness is on you. By the light of the candle, the weatherman calls for snow. You never meet me in the morning. Coffee's on for two. You never meet me when you're storming. Darkness sits on you. After dusk in the shadows, by the street lamp low, dinner for one in the den of old, the moon's laying low. You never meet me in the morning, the darkness sets on you. You never meet me in the morning. Coffee's on for two. Coffee's on for two.
That's very good. That's very good stuff right there. That's really... I was very professional. It was very tuneful and surprising with the voice. Very nice.
Thank you.
Very, very nice.
Thanks, Howard.
Did you like that?
Very much so. Well, that's my style. You know, I just like that. I want him to come up to the Tin Palace and play by the campfire.
Yeah, he can't wait to do that.
Any money in that?
Yeah. That's in between Orillia and Niagara Falls. He's going to be at Burley Falls.
Yeah.
You know, it's really very, very good. Very impressive.
Thanks, Howard.
Can you put some headphones on? I want to play you something.
For sure, man.
Just put some phones on. Wait, can we give him the good phones, please? Are those the good ones?
Yeah.
This fellow, Phil, come on over here. This fellow, Phil.
Oh.
He's a singer-songwriter as well, Craig.
Hey, Phil.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
In the headphones?
Yeah.
I just wanted to
nice
play
to
you
meet
something.
You, Phil.
That's Phil.
Nice to meet you, Craig.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Phil needs
turn
to
on my mic there.
Okay, sorry. I'm operating.
Let's hear Phil.
Here's Phil. Just a little something you might enjoy. Phil put together. He's got his own album.
Cool.
Here's from the Phil collection.
Oh, yeah.
I got a pocket full of shampoo.
Stan's my dog.
I got a pocket full of dog poo. Oh.
That's Phil singing.
Whoa.
Nice.
I know.
Stan can't help it because he has to make a big poo. Dog's got a hand and it's all full of Stan's poo. Oh.
It's about me hanging around
Whoa.
With my dog having to grab his poo.
A bag of poo.
A bag of poo.
Stan doggy do.
What do you think of that? Could you have Phil? Could you see a time when Phil was opening for you?
Possibly. In Burley Falls, maybe.
Yeah, Burley Falls.
A hand full of dog
dog food.
Yeah. High five. All right, man.
Nice job, Phil.
Yeah, Phil's pretty good. Craig Robertson, music.com. This kid here, Sean's also a singer-songwriter. Are you not? You can stop filming now.
Yeah.
We've had enough of that.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
So, do you play? What do you play again? Guitar? You play again?
Piano, saxophone.
All right, yeah. Everything. Late Mornings coming out in September. CraigRobertsonMusic.com. It's great meeting you, man.
You too, Howard. You
thanks
too,
for coming. No
thanks,
problem.
Thanks for coming
thanks
in, man.
Thanks much, for coming guys. By.
No problem.
We'll do it again someday.
Yeah, would you come and see us sometime?
I will.
Seem like a nice person.
Yeah, you guys seem all right, too.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. We have a reputation.
You know. Yeah, you do, actually.
I'm trying to live it. I'm trying to get past that, okay, Craig? Jesus Christ. Why do you have to bring that up?
Thanks, guys.
Ooh. Okay, pal.
Very nice, Craig Robertson. Sean, when you're done, sit down. We got to do some Sean stuff. Sean's got a couple of great stories. Excuse me, we're going to get to in our last 10 minutes here. But first, let's talk about PayTM. Pay through mobile. The revolution is here. And,
Hey, download the PayTM Canada app for free in either Google Play or the App Store, or visit paytm.ca to sign up and create your PayTM account using the referral code Humble and Fred. You know, PayTM Canada app is the only one in Canada that gives you rewards for your bill payments. Plus, choose how you want to pay, credit card, bank, or cash, and watch your points grow. Collect one PayTM point for every dollar spent. Now, how about this? When you sign up with the Humble and Fred referral code, you'll get $10 in PayTM cash that you can use towards a bill payment or reward purchase.
Yeah.
Enter the promo code Humble and Fred. That's and, A-N-D.
Hi, who's this?
Hey there, it's Brian. How you doing?
Brian, what's going on?
I'm glad that you guys will soon be back in the hood on the local airways, but I'm a Hyundai P and have been since I can't remember when I wasn't.
That's amazing, Brian. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the formerly educational facilities that helped fill in the Keswick, Ontario.
Ah, oh. Yes.
Actually, I was down there at your Christmas party with my son.
Oh, nice.
So you were really, I think you're the first one to get through on 1-833-HF-STINK.
Yeah, Brian's our very first stink caller.
Well, I want to say, you know, living up here in the WIC and being involved with Stink and, you know,
yeah.
I'm glad to be, I don't know what this might get played as, so I won't bring up anything about being your first virginal call, but...
Well, we're the Sultans of Stink.
Well, the Sultans of Swing on your other podcast, but
no, that's true.
Story.
Brian, thanks. Well, this is great because it's interesting. I know some time ago I said if you're a podcast listener and you want to call us between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., but you couldn't have heard that because that hasn't been uploaded yet, but yet you called. So
well,
thank you.
You're right. I haven't heard it, but I was tempted to call in at 8:22 for the fart of the day a couple of times.
Yes. Yes.
Why, were you going to offer one up?
No, I would have maybe brought causes and cases where on the golf course a fart didn't quite come out as a fart.
Oh, a golf shart. Yeah.
Flort.
That never happens.
No.
But my bitch and complaint today was with Howard, and it really has to do with why the hell did you play that Rupert Holmes song yesterday?
I know, dude.
I mean, like, literally, I woke up this morning, and I come out of the shower, and I've got him.
I know.
Him,
it's
and
gross.
I'm like, I got to phone in and complain.
Honestly, I apologize, because as I said to Freddie yesterday, I couldn't get rid of it. And then, of course, I brought it up again. You can't get rid of it now. There's really no way. You just have to work through it. Brian, we got to get wrapping up here, but please call us again. And you know what? When we're live on the... Now it's the 10th of September. We would love for you to be one of our first callers on the new radio airwaves. Okay?
I will try to make that happen.
Thanks, man.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
From one Queensway to another.
Spearhead Brewing Company, located in Kingston, Ontario, the award-winning Hawaiian Pale Ale all year round. This bold 6% West Coast Pale Ale is brewed in style with pineapple, unfiltered and dry hopped, a delicate carbonation and complex flavor. It sounds delicious. Pick it up. Where is it available? It's available at
LCBO,
all those places,
store,
right?
On tap and many facilities.
And the Fred man, he's tried it.
No,
he enjoys it.
Delicioso. Wow.
Spearhead Brewing Company. Now, Sergeant Sean's here, associate producer, Humble and Fred Show.
Hello, everybody.
Shawnee Sean, I had your list here, but they're... You know, it's funny. Fred and I were talking about the weird Trump press conference where he didn't want to acknowledge McCain. But in that I just realized that was a phone call between him and the Mexican president, Enrique Iglesias, or whoever it is. Who is
it? Enrique, what's it? Enrique Peña Nieto.
Peña.
Nieto.
Yes.
So there was a weird exchange there.
Yeah, it really wasn't his fault. I mean, it was a... He tried to put them on speakerphone so that everyone in the room could hear that they had reached this remarkable deal, which really isn't a remarkable deal.
No.
But he just wasn't there. He was the prime minister, or the Mexican president. He was preoccupied or couldn't quite hear. So a lot has been made of it,
as you would expect. Nieto. Mm-hmm.
He was trying to kind of show off to everybody what he was doing. We made this big deal. Got to get it on TV, out into the media and everything, just to show off what
he's
doing.
He's hitting buttons going, Enrique! 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 And then he looked at somebody and said, Can we
get this going?
Can we get this going? This is a big announcement.
But there was a part about the hug. That's the part I wanted
to... hug?
Well, listen to this.
Presidente Nieto.
Which
one? Sorry. The two leaders wrapped up. This is your story.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, at the end of the story.
You want me to do this?
No. So at the end of the story, he wanted to send him an affectionate hug.
Mm-hmm. So Enrique said, I'm going to send you a nice hug.
The President of the United States
and
of
a hug
Mexico.
From you would be very nice.
Yeah.
So it was just the most awkward conversation, folk, in front of everybody. Two presidents.
New road test is coming out. I heard about this yesterday, Sean, about the road test to see if you have too much marijuana in your system.
Yes, they've been trying to figure out new ways of testing on the road, and they've kind of come down to a few options.
This tests your saliva for the amount of THC in your system, but it can't tell if you're impaired or not.
And apparently a couple of the top recommended ones don't work very well in cold weather.
Yeah.
So that could be a problem.
Yeah, the name of this one is Draeger Drug Test 5000.
Yeah.
Sounds really intense and great, but like Howard just said, that they don't know if it's going to work yet. And a lot of the problem is they don't have a lot of testing.
They know it's going to work. It can identify marijuana traces of THC in your system. What it doesn't identify, though, is what your impairment level is. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like the breathalyzer where you point, if you're over 0.08, you're legally impaired, even though you may not be completely impaired. But that's the weird thing about this particular test is it doesn't say what your level of impairment is.
Well, and they only have so long now before October 17th to prepare all the police for training and drug testing.
Oh, no, I know. It really is a bit of a cluster F.
So
it is, because they just don't know where they're going with this.
And I think the police, I know the Regina Police Service had said this, they don't think they're going to be ready for October 17th. They're going to be a few months behind.
There's a interesting story from Times Square. Apparently a bunch of bees descended upon this iconic New York area.
It was a hot dog stand right in the heart of Times Square that over 30,000 bees descended on and just landed, and the police had to come and shut down the area because they didn't know what to do with all these bees just swarming.
No, it's the greatest thing ever, though, considering what's happened to the bee population over the past few years. It's fabulous that 30,000 bees would be in one place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was at Jack Astor's last night, and they have beautiful flowers in the patio. I was sitting on the patio with my lovely wife, and we remarked how many bees were in amongst those flowers.
Right,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because just a short time ago, there was a big problem with bees.
Bees do good work.
Yeah, they do. And that story out of Milton, and I know a lot of people Milton who would just be appalled at this.
Sure.
Outside of a mosque, what happened? They were skinning a cow alive?
Yeah, they were slaughtering a cow outside of a mosque in Milton, because one of the reasons they were doing it outside, too, is the mosque is under construction, and they really didn't plan for anywhere else besides the parking lot to do this slaughtering. So it's kind of made headlines now.
No, it's made headlines, and the police are saying, hey, believe me, it was not alive. Relax, it wasn't alive. But the very fact that they're out in front of a mosque in plain view, skinning a cow, it's a little unsettling.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for some kids and stuff, but...
Well, when I skin a cow, I usually
do it in private.
I do it in the privacy of my own home.
Yeah, in your garage.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, my cow slaughtering area. I do that.
My slaughterhouse.
My portable slaughterhouse in the back.
Area.
Jesus. All right. Well,
interesting.
Donaldson, I saw this story yesterday too. I thought, just wasn't it a short time ago that Josh Donaldson was the toast of the town?
Totally the poster boy for the last four or five years, something like that.
And now they're
and he's possibly being put on waivers today because the trade deadline's over.
Yeah. Mm.
The waiver wire's not. That ends
Friday. They don't like him anymore, right?
Well, in 2015, he was American League MVP.
Yeah.
And now in 2000... No, he's just been injured. So his trade worth has just plummeted because he's been injured. So there's nothing really to... There's just... You can't get anything for him because you don't know what he is right now. He's had a calf injury for over a year now.
Yeah.
They're trying to rush
Hardly
him.
Played this year. So
this just goes to show you. Yep. You know, one day you're doing the morning show at The Rock in Oshawa. And the next day you're playing songs on the Humble and Fred Show. Life's full of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks to Craig Robertson. Thanks to Tim Niblett. And thanks to you all. And thanks to Brian calling us there.
Brian from Keswick.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, look at us, you know, making things happen. We're back tomorrow. And then only a week before, we're free again, everybody.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Service Inspired Restaurants, PayTM, Spearhead Brewing Company, our newest sponsor, Strain Print, Use Cannabis Better. We broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the 5-Hour Energy Performance Zone. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.